Okay, we are on a message here in our series called Your Next Will Be Greater, and this is number 3 in the series. And specifically today, we're looking at the fact that your next must be Holy Spirit led. So your next will be greater, and if you call yourself a believer, your next must be Holy Spirit led. So let's look at our key verse again for this series, Haggai chapter 2, 7 to 9. And right before this verse, as we mentioned in an earlier message, Haggai has come to the people and he said, look, the Lord is speaking through Haggai to God's people, says, you've looked after your own places. Don't forget to look after God's house. Let's get this temple rebuilt. And in verse 7, he says, I will shake all nations so that the treasure of all nations will come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So God speaking, the Lord speaking through the prophet, tells them very clearly that the latter house, the next temple, is going to be greater than the first, and gives that hope and that passion for the people to know and understand their next is going to be greater. Let's get into it. Let's press in. And of course, he also speaks a little bit to the fact that maybe some were concerned there wouldn't be enough finance for it. How can it ever be? And God's just saying, look, I am going to look after this. You stepped in. But specifically today, with your next being greater, we want to look at the fact that your next must be Holy Spirit led. So let's go to some verses. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And Galatians 5, 16 to 26. And I'm just going to read a portion of it, but that's the context for it. If you want to go after and read all those verses, you'll get a real feel for the context. But in Galatians 5, 16 to 26, it's saying, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, here's the interesting thing. God very clearly saying, when you walk in the Spirit, in other words, you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So just a little sidetrack on this. If you're trying to make decisions for your next, don't base them on your fleshly desire. As a matter of fact, if you're following the desire of your flesh for your next, you are guaranteeing that you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. That's just a scriptural fact. God doesn't lead by the flesh. He never has. He never will. So don't base your decisions on what feels good. Base your decisions on the leading of the Holy Spirit for your next. Okay, so we're talking about your decision. Your next must be Holy Spirit led if you call yourself a believer. Now, if you're listening today and you're not yet a Christian, you're still going to get something good out of this. And obviously, as a pastor, my hope always is that you'll say, hey, I want to try Christ. I want him to come forgive me. I want him to be a part. But listen to this. Your next must be Holy Spirit led as a believer. Romans 8, 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What's he saying? If you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are showing that you are a child of God, or a son or a daughter of God. So going to your next is not about doing something that feels good or is easier, or just going where the grass is greener and the weather's warmer. We are talking about going to a next that is Spirit-led, God-breathed destiny for you. You see, too often people, when we start giving messages about your next, sometimes they simply think this is a good excuse to quit what's difficult, or, you know, boy, this relationship is too hard, I quit. Oh, that looks way better. Did you know that when you look at green grass, you know, at the neighbor's green grass from an angle with the sun shining off it, it always looks full and green. But if you walk over there, stand in the middle, look down, it's going to look just like your yard. Okay, the grass is not usually greener on the other side of the fence. Be Spirit-led. Being led by the Spirit is the spiritual thing. So if we're going to talk about being led by the Spirit, I need to just give you some tips on, well, how do we be led by the Spirit? What do you mean by that? So first off, being led by the Spirit is a spiritual thing. What do I mean by that? Plain and simple, you can't expect to be led in a physical, fleshly manner when you're talking about spiritual things. Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Holy Spirit wants to guide and he wants to speak to your spirit. You may not hear it with your physical ear or see it with your natural eye because it's spiritual. And yes, the spiritual can and does manifest in the physical, but most often the Holy Spirit speaks directly to your spirit. John chapter 3, 1 to 8. Again, that's the context. Let me just give you a little bit. And it says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then Jesus goes on to say, "The Spirit is like the wind. It goes here and there. You can't physically see it, but you can see its effects." All right, being led by the Spirit. The Spirit can lead us into our next in a number of ways. So what does it look like? Okay, so you understand it's spiritual. It won't be the same as a physical leading. It's a spiritual leading. So how does the Holy Spirit do this? The Spirit can lead in a number of ways, and I'm going to look at a few today to help you as a believer so that you can be led by God's Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit can lead us to our next by his still small voice. And I believe this is the number one way the Spirit leads. Now, definitely it's for me, maybe not for everybody else. Isaiah chapter 30, 21 says, "You will hear a voice behind you saying when to turn to the left hand and when to turn to the right." In 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 all the way to 13, we read a portion of a story about Elijah the prophet. You see, Elijah the prophet has just had an amazing, powerful victory over the enemy. He has been on the mountain. They did a sacrifice, and the prophets of Baal were supposed to call on their God, and then he would call on the one true God. The prophets of Baal called, and no fire came down on their sacrifice. He called, and the fire of God came and consumed. And the people once again said, "We want to serve God," and they destroyed the prophets of Baal. And then a great rain came because, you see, there had been famine for a number of years because the people had turned from God. Now the rain has come. It's been a huge, huge victory. But the king Ahab goes back to his wife Jezebel, tells her what's happened, and she says, "By this time tomorrow, I'm going to have that prophet's head." Elijah runs for his life. And he feels ready to give up, even ready to die. He's in a state of depression. And he goes up and hides in a cave. And it says that first there came outside the cave a strong wind and it rent the earth. And then there came an earthquake. But it says God was not in the wind. And it says God was not in the earthquake. And then a fire. And it says, but God was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And if you read the story, you'll see, then Elijah gets up, puts his mantle around him and walks out because he recognizes this is God. The still small voice is a sound of a gentle calm, a stillness or a whisper. In the natural, you cannot hear a gentle stillness, can you? But in the Spirit, you can. You see, Elijah didn't need another mighty miracle to prove to him that God was in it. He had just come from some of the mightiest miracles of all time. He didn't need a show. He didn't need to see God perform some supernatural miracle. He needed the direction of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you're going through or what season you're in, but I can tell you this. If you're in depression, you need to hear God's voice. You need to hear his direction. If you're in a place where you don't know anymore what to do, if you're feeling hopeless, you need direction. You don't need a mighty miracle manifestation. You'll leave from that miracle manifestation feeling the same way. But the Holy Spirit wants to direct you. And one of the main ways that I believe he uses is his still, small voice. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, he will gently lead those who are with young. The Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 is symbolized as a gentle dove. Think about it for a minute. The Holy Spirit symbolized as a dove. Did you know that doves don't attack? You never hear of doves destroying or causing all kinds of problems. They don't use doves to portray something angry or mean. The Holy Spirit is gentle and he leads gently. If you want to hear his still small voice, get in a place where other loud distractions are not and ask the Holy Spirit directly to lead you. Then write down what he brings to your mind. It may feel strange at first, but over time you will be able to hear that still small voice even in noisy, distracting situations. If you're waiting for a big show or a loud, booming voice, you may never hear what God has to say. God wants to lead you by his Holy Spirit. The still small voice, him speaking directly to your thoughts when you ask, and you know that it's him. God has something great in store and he wants to talk to you. All right, the Holy Spirit can lead us to our next through a dream or vision. And I'm going to really go over these quickly, but I do want you to know the Holy Spirit has a number of ways that he can lead. And dreams and visions are one and two of those ways. Joel 2, 28 and 29. It will come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God saying, I'm going to pour out my spirit. We are in those days. He poured out his Holy Spirit back in Acts. He still continues to pour out his Holy Spirit, refresh and revive people with his Holy Spirit and lead by his Holy Spirit. And he says he's going to speak in these different ways, dreams and visions. Now, if you understand the way this is written, he is not saying that only old men will dream and only young men will see visions. He is getting each of the ways he wants to speak and including everybody. God will speak to anybody and everybody, no matter your position, no matter who you are. Now, dreams and visions are an interesting thing, and they're a great way for God to speak, but not all dreams and visions are from God. Ecclesiastes 5, 3, and 7 says, a dream comes through a multitude of business. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are diverse vanities, but fear God. Jeremiah 23, 16 to 18, they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So, not every dream or every vision is necessarily from God, but you can know the ones that are because they have a feel of God's Spirit on them and they will be in line with his word, the Bible, okay? Now, has anybody ever had a dream here from God and you know it? If you ever have, there's a feel to it. You understand, okay, this is God speaking in the dream. I can remember at times when I used to be working construction, carpentry work, and I'd come home and I would end up dreaming that I was back at work and I'd be physically hauling boards or turning things or hammering with the hammer. My wife would quickly move away because she didn't want to get, you know, squished like she was a board or something. The dream was not from God. It was simply from the busyness of the day. So just a little caution there with dreams and visions. Make sure they line up with God's word. Now, the leading of the Lord is important for us, and he does from time to time use dreams and visions. Proverbs 29, 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Visions are important. Habakkuk 2, 2, write the vision, make it plain, that he may run that reads it. All right, the Holy Spirit also can and wants to lead you through prophetic word. Amos 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he first reveals it to his prophets. And what about Acts 9, 4 to 6? This is the story of Saul, also known as Paul, in the New Testament. And Saul was actually going out killing or having Christians put into prison where many of them would die, men, women, young, old. And he felt he was doing it for God. But as he's going to Damascus to find some more Christians and get them thrown to jail, it says he fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he answers, who are you, Lord? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Saul is told to go into the city and it's told what he should do. Now, Ananias, God speaks to Ananias, one of the disciples, and says, you need to go talk to Saul. You need to pray and heal his eyes and tell him what I tell you. Now, at first, Ananias didn't want to go because he'd heard of Saul, but he knows God's speaking, and he heads over there. Saul, also known as Paul, tells his version of what was said in Acts chapter 22, 14 to 15. And he says, then he told me, talking about what Ananias told him, the Lord through Ananias, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear him speak. For you are to be a witness telling everyone what you have seen and heard. That was a prophetic word. Now, the interesting thing about this prophetic word, Saul knew how to hear it himself, didn't he? Jesus was right there talking to him. Why didn't he just give him the rest of the message? Because God wants to use others to speak into your life. God wants you not to do this alone. And he will use others to tell you, even though you know how to hear yourself. Christ telling him, go into the city, could have said, because I want you to do this, this, and this. But it would not have happened because Saul could not do it alone. He needed other disciples. He needed other connections. I call those divine connections. So God used someone else to heal and speak into his life. And God used Ananias also to introduce him to other disciples in the area. If you read on further in Acts chapter 9, you'll see that he spent time with the disciples. How did he get in there? He was introduced by Ananias, who had spoke into his life. And later we hear that he's with the apostles in Jerusalem. And there, a man named Barnabas speaks up and says, no, he has given his life to Christ. He's safe. You know, you should meet him. Barnabas was obviously in Damascus to get to meet and know who he was. Remember, we are a body of believers and we need one another. There's no lone rangers in God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit will lead you through prophetic word. The Holy Spirit can also lead us to our next through God's written word. And of course, this is so important. Psalm 119, 103 to 105. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your precepts, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, the Holy Spirit will never lead us to do anything that contradicts God's written word. And God can speak through his written word continually because it is a living word. Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. You see, God's word was there from the beginning, and God's word continues, manifest through Christ Jesus. God's word can speak to you. Open it up. Learn it. Read it. Do it. His word makes a change, and his word will lead you to your next. You see, the Holy Spirit's next for you will be greater than you can imagine, so make time to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, the greatest next for anybody is choosing Christ to be their Savior. If you're listening today and you have never asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life, you need to do it today. And I'm going to take a moment to pray with you. If that is a desire you have, you know, I want to be a Christian. I want to know that I'm saved, that heaven will be my home. I want to be able to be led by the Holy Spirit. Then you need to be a Christian. If you want that, I want you to repeat this prayer after me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now, forgive me of all I've done wrong. Make me new. Use my life. Speak to me by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that today for the first time, you are now a Christian. You have been forgiven, and your future is going to begin more than you've ever seen. Nexts are coming. Now simply take some time and pray and ask, Holy Spirit, lead me. I want to close out today with just a quick prayer for those of you who are listening. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak something, and he may want to speak something directly to you. So just give me a few seconds here now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your people. I thank you that you have such a love, such a desire to reveal yourself and to reveal next. And Lord, even right now, you have nexts waiting for people to step into, and you want to lead them by your gentle Holy Spirit. I see someone right now, it's a man, and you have never thought of God being gentle. You've always thought of him as being angry and mean, and you did not want to hear anything from him. Even though you would call yourself a believer, you didn't want to hear a thing from him. You felt that, who really wants to hear? I'll just let other people hear. God says, no, he wants you to now hear. He wants to speak to you. You need to know and believe he is not going to crush you. He's going to build you when he speaks. So take some time. Listen. Do not be afraid. Lord, I thank you. I see a young person, a teenager, but I would say younger teenager, a boy. And you've been really asking about your future. You've been wondering, well, what am I supposed to do? What is my future? You know, I want to first just say this to you by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about your future. If your heart is in a position where you're saying, God, I'm your worst, you can trust him. He's going to show you little things, even at your age, but he's not going to show you everything right now. Because some things, if he showed you, you'd say no. But he wants to show you some little things to begin with. And he does want to show you things that you didn't expect. So take some time and pray. And I'm just going to encourage you. I can see that there's times when you pray at night, and that's a time for you. Go ahead and do that. And then be quiet and say, Holy Spirit, show me something you want me to know. And you're going to have a thought drop in that's going to be him. So Lord, I thank you today that you want to lead us by your Holy Spirit. Make our hearts open to you and take us to our next, Lord, the next that you are saying is going to be greater. Hey, God loves you so much, more than you can imagine. God bless you.